Welcome to another episode of Workings of the Townships on CJMQ 88.9 FM with your host, Shelby. This episode, I will be talking about the fascinating world of aluminum. Like how aluminum oxide, a powder, folks, transforms into the metal that we all know and love. Also, did you know that Canada produces the most eco-friendly aluminum in the world? And you ever wonder why here in North America we call aluminum, aluminum, and why the Brits call it aluminium? Those answers are coming up. Now, aluminum is found in a lot of the objects that we use daily, like your cars, computers, and in our beloved beer cans. Aluminum is known for its lightweight, non-magnetic, and non-toxic properties. It is malleable, and it retains its strength in the extreme cold. It's a lovely material since the surface naturally oxidizes during the smelting process and creates a barrier to corrosion. This product would not be so prevalent if it wasn't for technological innovations. Advancements over the decades have made this material economically feasible to produce, even though the technical process was developed in 1886. It wasn't until the 80s that it became practical to produce on a large scale. During the early days, aluminum was sold at around the price of silver. Now, aluminum sells around 100 times less than silver, and in 1939, about 700,000 tons of aluminum was produced. Now, around 60 million tons are produced worldwide per year. Let's make one thing clear. Aluminum is a bizarre kind of material. Unlike gold or silver, it is not found in the earth as a pure metal. Instead, it is a chemical compound called aluminum oxide, also known as alumina, which is the third most prevalent element in the Earth's crust. It makes up around 8% of the Earth's surface. This chemical is found in bauxite, which usually resembles soil, or on the rare occasion, it is found in hard rock. This material is most commonly mined in tropical regions, and after it is refined, it is transported to aluminum smelting plants. Bauxite is usually surface mined and then transported to a refinery. The Bayer process is used to turn the soil-like substance into alumina, which is a fine powder that resembles powdered sugar. In 2018, more than 160 million tons were mined. Australia produces more than one-third of the world's supply of bauxite. For every one ton of aluminum metal, 4 tons of bauxite are needed. It takes many steps to extract alumina from the bauxite. During the Bayer process, the bauxite is first crushed into small pieces and then mixed into caustic soda to separate the aluminum from the ore. This mixture creates a slurry, which is put into tanks and then subjected to heat and pressure. It is then separated through settlement. That slurry is then filtered and subjected to precipitation tanks, where seed crystals of alumina hydrate are added to each tank. The seed crystals grow as they disperse through the liquid, attracting alumina compounds in the solution. The crystals settle to the bottom and are removed, washed, and put into a big oven called the kiln. The heat separates the water from the crystals and a white powder is left. So I'm sure you can imagine how much energy and time is needed in order to make the alumina powder. Now, this powder is transported to a smelting plant and undergoes a procedure called the Hall-Heroult process. This process was discovered in 1886, simultaneously and independently by two young men living on two different continents, Charles Hall from America and Paul Heroult from France. Both invented the same process of producing aluminum on an industrial scale. And that is why both of their names are a part of the process, so the Hall and Heroult process. Oddly enough, they were born in the same year. Both were 22 years old when they concurrently made the same invention. And if that's not bizarre enough, they also died the same year. Independently, they didn't kill each other or anything like that. And if you ever wondered why in North America we say aluminum, and in Europe and in French they also say aluminium, it's because of these two inventors. So originally Hall, the American inventor, used the name aluminium in his patent, just like Harold did in France. But in a well-circulated advertisement in America, Hall used aluminum instead, and since then, well, the name has stuck. The Hall Herald uses an electrolysis process to separate the alumina from the ore. So, in other words, they use electric currents to separate the oxygen from the aluminum on a molecular level. To do this, they take the white powder that has been extracted from the bauxite and put it in a reduction pot that holds molten cryolite, which is heated to 900 degrees Celsius. The reduction pot is a steel or iron container lined with graphite cathodes and has carbon anodes suspended on the top of the tank. These elements make the electrolysis process possible. The direct current that is inputted into the alumina in the cryolite solution splits the oxygen from the alumina. The alumina turns into aluminum and travels to the bottom of the tank, where the molten substance is then siphoned off into crucibles and then casted into molds such as ingots. And those oxygen atoms then travel to the carbon anodes. So, what do you get when you attach two oxygen atoms to one carbon? You guessed it, carbon dioxide. These greenhouse gas emissions have caused a lot of headache for environmentalists, the industry, and the Canadian government. Canada is the fourth largest aluminum producer in the world, producing around 3 million tons of aluminum just in 2018. There are 10 smelters in Canada, one in Kitimat, BC, and the other 9 in Quebec. The aluminum industry alone represents about 8% of Quebec's manufacturing exports. BC and Quebec are desirable places for production because they are close to tidewater, so easier for shipping, and have hydropower capabilities. The smelting process uses a lot of electricity. For example, for every 1 ton of aluminum that is produced, about 15 kilowatts of electricity is needed. In Canada, all smelters run on hydropower. The greenhouse emissions are caused by carbon anodes that are used for the electrolysis process. As discussed before, because these carbon anodes attract the oxygen ions and emit the CO2 into the atmosphere. These anodes are usually made up of oil, refining byproducts, and coal. Fortunately, a company based in Montreal called Eliasis has created a system that does not emit any CO2 but pure oxygen. Eliasis is a firm that was created by two rival companies, Rio Tinto and Alcoa. Their union was brokered by Apple. Yes, Apple. And their investors were the Canadian and Quebec government. Together, they created this revolutionary technology to stop direct CO2 emissions from being released during the electrolysis process. And how they did this was that they have replaced the carbon anodes with a different material that is stable and does not emit greenhouse gases. And I have been hard-pressed to find information about what this material is made of or how it works, but it should be commercially available in 2024, ready for retrofitting older smelters and to be installed in new facilities. The company claims that this new technology would reduce CO2 emissions by 6.5 billion tons a year in Canada alone, which is equivalent to taking about 1.8 million vehicles off the road, and reduce operation costs by about 15%. It is also worth noting that Canada has some of the lowest emitting smelters in the world, since it derives its energy from hydropower. For example, the Middle East uses gas-fueled electricity, which means their carbon footprint is about 7 times higher than Canada, and its greenhouse gas emissions are not subjected to carbon pricing. More concerningly, China produces around 33 million tons, so 10 times more than Canada, a year, and more than 50% of the aluminum in the world. Unlike here, they use coal instead of hydro to power their 180 and growing smelters. These producers are not subjected to a carbon pricing system either. This means that China's production prices are cheaper, they are more competitive, and they have little incentive to cut their greenhouse emissions. China can produce more aluminum at a lower price than Canada, and this is proving to be an issue. Canada exports a lot of its aluminum, and now that China is expanding from its domestic market and exporting to the world, they have come into direct competition with Canada. Well, that's all for today, folks. Hope you enjoyed. And if you have any comments or would like to share your knowledge about the resource sector on the show, you're welcome to email me at workingsofthetownships@gmail.ca. I will leave you with a lighthearted song from Weird Al about possible uses for aluminum foil. Have a good one. Bye now.
I never seem to finish all my food. I always get a doggy bag from the waiter, so I just keep what's still unchewed, and I take it home, save it for later. But then I deal with fungal rot, bacterial formation, microbes, enzymes, mold and oxidation. I don't care, I got a secret trick up my sleeve. I never bother with baggies, glass jars, Tupperware containers, plastic cling wrap, really a no-brainer. I just like to keep all my flavors sealed and tight with aluminum foil.
Foil.
Never settle for less. That kind of wrap is just the best to keep your sandwich nice and fresh. Stick it in your cooler.
Cooler.
And the Illuminati know that they're finally primed for world domination. And soon you've got black helicopters come across the border, puppet masters for the New World Order. Be aware, there's always someone that's watching you. And still the government won't admit they faked a whole moon landing. Thought control race, psychotronic scanning. Don't mind that. Protected 'cause I made this hat from aluminum foil.
Foil.